What we're going to try to do tonight is give an introduction to Parshas Matos, which is one of the two Parshas we're going to read on Shabbos. And the subject of Parshas Matos, at least at the beginning, is a neder or a shvur, which is called a hafla'at peh. The Rambam dedicates an entire book of his 14 books in the Rambam to hafla'at, sefer hafla'at, that deals with nedarim, shvuos, hekdeshos, all things that are engendered by a verbal statement. The Chafetz Chaim, in his introduction, has a whole discussion about the power of speech. And this is a photocopy. I only have one copy, so we don't have to go through it piece by piece. Maybe we'll come back to it a little later. But he speaks about the amazing power of human speech. Okay, so let me leave this on the table. We're going to take a look, first and foremost, at the Tiferes Shlomo, which is one of the commentaries on the Torah, and you'll see it on number 10, which should be on the first page that you have. And the Torah says at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon, a person brings a karbon. Pirush, who is this Parsha, who is this verse addressing? What kind of individual? Who's the profile? Adam haholech bidrakov. He's a man who goes, he's a rank and file citizen, he goes down his ways, his path. Emo shum hit karvut l'Hashem baruch hu. He doesn't have any special close relationship to Almighty God. Yikach lo raya min habehema. He should learn something from this animal that he's bringing as a karbon. Shenaseis hegdesh lahakrova al pi diburo shel adam. What does a man have to say when he points to an animal in order to change, transform its whole status from chulin to hegdesh? How many words does he have to say? Just three words. Three words makes the whole transformation of this animal. From Chulin to the highest Kodesh, Kodesh Kodoshim, which is called Ola, he says, Harezu Ola. That's the power of Diburo Shel Adam. V'naseis Kodesh Kodoshim, Rak Al Yidei Diburo. V'hevel Piv Shel Adam. You know, it's the air, so to speak. You know, we say that a man is full of hot air, right? Just the hot air of a person is able, with 1 second, to change this animal and consecrate it to the highest level of Kodesh Kodoshim. Afal pisha behema atzmo lo nishtanes. When you see the animal, does it look any different after you said a razor ola?
No.
Nothing changed? It's identical? Physically it's identical. Nothing actually changed. Ikmosha hoisa. It's exactly what it was a second ago. Ahadibur shemotzi adam. Who Kodesh Kedoshim. Man's speech itself is sanctified on the highest level of sanctity. And that sanctity now is transferred over to what? To the animal. V'uchal al behema. V'gdisha. And this motzei sfasov, motzei piv, shala adam, now has the energizing power to sanctify the korban. In Cain, and what's the message here of this parasha? What's inherent in this parasha? Yireh ha'odim, a person has to become aware of Godel ha'kedusha sherbo, the great sanctity that he has through his power of speech that can somehow transform this animal into Kodesh Kedoshim. So imagine if a man says something that consecrates the animal to Hegdesh. Ma'od kal v'chomer, how much more so, says the Tefer Shlomo, ha'dibur shel Torah u'tfilah. When you speak words of Torah, or when you pray, where does that take place? In whose presence? With the Hashem he spoke, in the presence of Hashem. So that's even greater. That's an even more intense level of kedusha, of sanctity through the Peh. V'zeh poshet adam ki yakriv mikem. Person wants to bring a karbon, and the word karbon comes from the word hiskarvus, liskarv, to come closer to Hashem through the karbon. He should look at this animal that he's bringing as a karbon, and he should understand Shechala Kedusha Alei, that this Kedusha that is that penetrates into the animal itself, Al Yidei Dibur Piv, through his Dibur. Ubazeh, and with that attitude, Takrivu as Karbanchem, you should bring your Karban. Because what does he have to know? Ki Dailo, it's enough for him, Beharuach, with using the wind of speech. Because where does that ruach come from? It comes from Hashem. Right? Vayipach v'yapov. God blows into man the power of speech. Ruach Hashem Asher b'kirbo. There's a ruach, a wind, so to speak, of Hashem that's inside man. Man's body now becomes a host. Hosting, as it were, a guest. And who's the guest inside his body? The ruach Hashem. V'hu mishkan lo. So since man is holding on to the Shekhinah, the Ruach Hashem that's in him, that Ruach Hashem, when he speaks, has inherent sanctity, and not only does it have inherent sanctity, it can now sanctify something else. The Kedusha is contagious. It's the expansion of Kedusha. That's a concept we always have to understand. Then we speak about Kedusha, about sanctity, we have to always remember that sanctity expands. It goes like throwing a stone in a river. It makes ripples and ripples, and it broadens and broadens, extends and extends. So here, you start with the Ruach Hashem, which is the most sanctified. It goes into man, and now man becomes sanctified. Now his speech, which is made with Ruach Piv, the Dibur Peshal Adam, that's sanctified, and now the Behemah becomes sanctified. And this is all what a person should have as his attitude when he brings a karbon. That it's Mikem, the Kedusha comes Mikem, and with that Kedusha, he should appreciate the power of speech. Now I want you to take a look at another dimension of the Karban. Here it's the opposite dimension, where instead of bringing the Karban inside, into the Mikdash, he slaughtered the animal outside the Mikdash. Anybody know what that's called? Shkutei Chutz. Do you know what the punishment for Shkutei Chutz is? Take a look at number 11 on the left side of your page. This is in Parshas Achremos. It's in Vayikra Yudzayim, Pasuk Dalet. It says, Asher Yishchat Michutz Lamachne, El Pesach Ol Moed Lo Evio. He promised to bring this carbon where? Into the Beis HaMikdash, but he didn't do so. Where did he bring it instead?
Outside.
Is dam yechashev lishagu. It's as if he spilled blood, meaning the blood of the animal. V'nichras hayishu. What's the onesh, the punishment? It's a very severe punishment. And Rashi says dam yechashev. When the Torah says that if you bring this animal, this carbon outside of the Mikdash, whether it's it could be even outside of the machna. But it's certainly outside of the old moed. Rashi says, "Dam yechashev kishofech dam ha'adam." It's as if he spilled the blood of a man. Umischayev benafsho. Okay, and he becomes chayev benafsho, and that's why he's chayev what? Kareis.
Twice. Sorry.
So who expands upon this idea? Did anybody ever hear of Rav Zalman Sirotskin? Does that name ring a bell? He was Rosh Yeshiva of Telz. And he wrote a famous commentary on the Torah, which is called Aznayim L'Torah. And on the Pasuk, Dam Yechashev Lishahu, he says, why is this such a severe prohibition? Shechilel ish shechilel es diburo. Are you paying attention? The Ofar al Nidro. He violated his neder. He took a pledge that he would bring this carbon where? Lashem. What does Lashem mean? To Hashem and where? In the Mishkan of Hashem. Into the Olam Moed. Kedin u'kedas, the way he's supposed to do so. V'krivo ba'machno chutz l'machno. Instead he brought it in the machno, the camp of Israel. He didn't bring it into the inside to the Mishkan. Shalorak bedam nimtzeis ha'nefesh. We assume that where is the nefesh? You remember the pasuk ki adam hu nefesh. The nefesh is in the dam, correct?
Yeah.
Says the Oznaim LaTorah, the nefesh is not only in the dam, but it's also in the dibur. Elagam b'koch hadibur, the power of speech is identical with the nefesh. The soul of man is in his speech. Asher chanan Hashem es bechir habruim, God graciously bestowed upon man the power of speech. Man is called the bechir habruim. How would you translate that? Bechir habruim.
Bechir's choice.
Correct. The chosen of all creation. He is the epitome, the crown of creation. Shenemar bo nefesh. Vayehi ha'odom le'nefesh chaya, targum uklis le'ruach memalala. Memalala is Aramaic for speech. So the ruach that Hashem blew into man, and man became now a nefesh chaya, a living spirit, is the ruach, is the ability to speak. And Rashi amplifies this. He says, af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh. Even though animals are also called a nefesh, they have some sort of a soul, not a soul in the way we understand it. Ach zushal adam, but the soul of man, chaya shevakulon. It's the greatest, most living, energetic soul of all. Shenit fasev bo, says Rashi, what was added to man that doesn't exist in the animal kingdom, dea v'dibur. What's dea v'dibur?
Knowledge and...
Right, intellect and speech. The animals can't speak. So there's, you know, there's an equation here with a person who takes a neder and falsifies his neder. Instead of bringing the carbon as he had promised, he took it outside into the machna, or even outside the machna. And the Torah says about his punishment for shchut echutz, dam yechashev. Rashi says, it's as if he spilled blood. He's like a rotzeach. Why is he a rotzeach? Because he took the most precious gift that was given to him from God. What is that?
The nefesh.
The nefesh. And what is the nefesh? Where is the nefesh? It's not only in the dam, but it's also in what? It's in the dibur. And he falsified his dibur. He violated his pledge. He vitiated the kedusha of his lashon peh. And that lashon peh represents what's unique about man, the nefesh of Adam. So he's considered a shofech nefesh. The Torah says in terms of dam yechashev, it's as if he spilled blood because the nefesh is in the dam. But that's just a code word for actually destroying the nefesh. Rabbo said, do you understand what's going on here? Do you understand how severe the punishment is going to be if we violate our dibur? Which could mean sheker, it could mean lashon hara.
It's like violating your nefesh.
Correct. I mean, it's equated here because he didn't bring the carbon as he promised to, with mitzicha, with shvichas damim. And the Oznayim L'Torah continues. This you'll see on the left side of your page. Did it come out?
No.
It's below number 12. V'hainu shenefesh pshuta nimtzeis b'chol bal chai v'hu adam.
Well, if
you find number 12, it's like one line below that. Correct. The simple nefesh, that's the soul, without the koch hadibur, is found in every animal. And where is it located in the animal? What gives it its life force? Hu adam. It circulates throughout all the organs of the body. It carries the oxygen to give life to all the organs of the body. And the ability to move, right? Animals move as opposed to plants generally. Man has within him a different kind of blood, meichut yoter ne'ala, from a quality that's even more elevated. Hamit galeit ba'avarat shonot, and it reveals itself in different enunciations. Hamuvanot lo uladam hashom'an, that are understood when he communicates through dibur, through speech and language, to the person who hears the language, al yedei adat, through knowledge, intellect. So the intellect allows one person to communicate to the other. One person mouths and enunciates words and syllables. The other person receives them and understands them through his knowledge, his intellect. Asher chananu Hashem, which God blessed them with. For who are dibur, and this is what we call dibur. Asher asa asa adam lenefesh chai, which elevates man to a higher level than the animals who don't have the power of speech. Now man becomes a nefesh chaya. So in terms of the Nefesh HaAdam, you could say the Nefesh HaAdam subdivides, you know, if you're creating a flowchart, into guf and pure nefesh. The guf of a man's nefesh is the dam, that's the physicality, and that's common to every animal on the face of the earth, and man is, in that sense, is a biological animal. But man's nefesh has a pure nefesh element to it, which is not in the dam, but it's in the dibur. And that dibur links up with das to allow man to express abstract ideas and transfer them and transmit them to other people who receive them and understand them through the das. And that's the neshama of the nefesh adam. That's the pure spirit or soul of man's nefesh.
Right, so then can we say that goyim are animals because they are not focused on the dibur?
Again, if a Jew or a non-Jew, it doesn't matter, violates his dibur, then he's basically vitiating what makes him, again, whether he's a Jew or a guy, it doesn't matter, a unique creation in comparison to all the other creations. Because how is man, again, I'm not differentiating between Jew and non-Jew, but how is the human being unique in the animal kingdom? What separates him from the animals? The animals also have a nefesh.
It can actually tell.
Say it again?
It can actually talk.
Talk, right, the power of speech. So if you vitiate the power of speech, basically you're denying, you're desecrating the very essence of man. So man has a nefesh, just like an animal has a nefesh. The nefesh of the animal is located where? In the dam. Where is the nefesh ha'adam located? In the dam. But the nefesh ha'adam has another dimension to it that the animals don't have. And that's the neshama of the nefesh ha'adam. That makes man into a nefesh chaya. As Rashi says, he has a nefesh chaya which is more chaya than any other nefesh of the animal kingdom. And how does that nefesh chaya of Adam express itself? Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, says the Targum Onkelos, ruach memalala. He's got the power of speech. The power of speech is much different than dam. Dam is physical. The power of speech is intellectual, it's conceptual, it's not physical. It's abstract. It represents the neshama of man. So I would say that whether you're a guy or a Jew, it's irrelevant. In this context, if you vitiate that power that was given to man, you trample it and you desecrate it and you use it for filth, then basically you're taking the neshama of man that makes man unique in the animal world, and you are completely lowering it and contaminating it. Just like you can destroy the blood of a person, which is the physical soul of a person. What's makavim? What does ke'ev mean? Ke'evim. No, that's not you. Not familiar to you.
Ke'ev is like angry.
No, that's kas. Ke'ev is suffering, pain. So you can smash somebody and his blood is he'll suffer great pain, machalot, he'll get very sick, and Rachman al-San, somebody could have a blood disease, you know, and he goes to the hematologist, or he may even have a leukemia, chas v'shalom. I mean, these are all ways of physically destroying man through his dam. But in the parallel way, kach efshal la'shchit, you can also destroy nishmat ha'adam, the part of the soul that's pure soul, al yidei chilul hadibur, by desecrating your speech.
Oh, so you kill yourself.
Correct. So, and the Baal HaTurim, you know, the Baal HaTurim is famous for gematrios, at the very beginning of Parshas Matos, which is our parsha, the parsha Nedarim. So he claims that Nedarim in gematrio, the mathematical equivalent of Nedarim, is rotzeach. Meaning if he violates his neder, he's rotzeach, because he's destroyed that power of speech which is unique to man, that represents the soul of man. Now, if somebody doesn't mind writing down the following, okay, and adding it for me, if you don't mind calculating, I'm just curious if this will work out. 50?
50.
Hey, you have a calculator? Okay. 54.
54.
200. 10 and 40.
304.
304? Okay, now, 200.
Yeah.
Six,
yeah, 6,
90,
two,
and 8.
And 3 or 14. 3 or 4.
What is it? Beautiful. Okay. So it works out. So the Baal Turim claims that Nedarim equals Rotzeach. Means if you violate the Neder, that's why taking a vow is such a scary thing. Because you're really exposing yourself to you're jeopardizing yourself to the possibility of vitiating, of desecrating that holiest of holy in man, which defines man as an Nefesh Chai, namely his Koch HaDibur. If he's Mechal, his Dibur. Does anybody know if you violate a Neder that you took? Let's say I take a Neder that this tea is Asur Alai B'Neder, and then I drink it. Does anybody know what Lav I violate that's beginning of Parashas? No, what's the nature of the love? How does it read in the Torah? I can give you a chumash, you'll find. It says, Lo Yachel Dvaro. What does Yachel mean? Yachel Yud Ches Lamed is Miloshon Chulin. Chulin means to desecrate. Chilul, right? Chilul Hashem. What's Chilul Hashem? To desecrate the holy name of God. Now, here's something interesting about the power of the mouth. In number 15, it should be on the second page that you have, the bottom page. In number 15 is the Or HaChaim of Chaim Ben Attar. He's very mystical, and he has a commentary on Parshas Pinchas. This is last week's Parsha. Who?
About
how much favorite
Or HaChaim,
not the Oppenheimer from. Oh, you're talking about Maurice. Oh, you're in JC?
Yeah, he's a teacher.
Oh, I know him very well. Yeah. So the Or HaChaim wants to know the following. Take a look, Rabosai, look inside for a minute here, Parshas Pinchas that we read just 2 days ago, and you'll see that the Torah goes through not only the Shvatim and the census and the counting, but also through the Mishpachot, the families of each Shevet. Now, what do you say?
Paratek family.
Correct. And the Torah then conjugates the family name. You want to see this? Well, look inside this. Kedai to see. It's something amazing. Right? So let's say, for example, if you go all the way back to Reuven. So Reuven has Chanoch, that's his oldest. And then he has Chetron, etc. He has four sons. Right? Karmi, and so on. Now, when you conjugate the name Chanoch, Mishpachas Ha, the family of, what do you add?
The
Yud at the end, correct? Yeah. And you'll see this over and over again. Now watch this. When we get to Yisachar, his oldest is called Tola, so you're going to add what at the end? A Yud, Tola, that's fine. And then his second in command, his second is Fuva. Okay? Now Fuva, if you add a Yud, becomes Fuva Yi, right? And look what it has. Hafuni. Do you see a letter there that doesn't belong? Take a look at that.
The Nun.
The Nun. Come from Nowhere. Nun from Nowhere. The Nowhere Nun.
It drops the hay also.
Correct. Okay? So that's very strange. So the Rechaim HaKadosh wants to know what is going on up here. Now take a look at the name Fufa. Right? It's Fei, Vav, Hei. Now if you drop the Vav, what are you left with?
Pia. Right?
A pay and a hay, which is what?
Mouth.
Is a mouth, right? A pay. And this pay and hay is split in the middle with a vav. Now, the Archaim is going to offer a number of different interpretations what the name fuvav means. All of them assume that the name means the pay, the mouth. And what the vav means is going to take on different possibilities. For example, the vav might be the image of a tree. That's called an Eitz Chaim. Or the Vav might be connected to the Hey at the end of the name, Vav K, or the last two letters of God's name, Yud K, Vav K. Okay then? And then the Arachaim is going to want to know what's this Nun doing in the middle. Okay, so let's look at the Arachaim inside. Part of it you have on your page, part of it you don't. I have the full Arachaim, it's gigantic, it wouldn't have fit on that page. And he says, Yesh lahayir lama hosif os she'ena nivneis me'osios Hashem. What is this letter Nun doing over here? Okay? So first of all, he establishes that this name, Pei Vav Hei, he lashon Pei. Lashon Pei, excuse me. It means a mouth. Now, does anybody know what was special about this Shevet, Yisachar? What were they dedicated to? In Israel, what was their job in Israel?
Oh, learning.
Correct, learning and
Torah.
And teaching. correct? Learning and teaching. They were the teachers of Israel. They came from Yisachar. So it's fair to assume that Fuva is symbolic of a teacher of Torah because he's from Shevet Yisachar. Now, when you teach Torah, what organ do you use? Besides the intellect, obviously. The mouth, the pen. So the mouth of Puva has to be dedicated to what? To Torah. Okay?
And the thumb is also another body part that you use.
Okay, you employ your thumb. Right, very good. He says, V'hosif lo os vav. Why was the vav added to the name Puva? Why not just Peh?
Because it looks like a thumb.
Okay, it looks like an Eitz Chaim, he says. Right? Eitz Chaim is the Torah. The Torah is always compared to an Eitz Chaim. And this fellow Fuva is dedicated to study Torah. And if you compare him to another Peh, meaning of a regular citizen, then he has the Vav, which is dedicated to the Torah study. Yeser al Shar Pefios. Gali says, Remez Besmichus Os HaVav L'Os Hey. If you combine the Hey with the Vav, the last two letters of his three-letter name, then you get half of Hashem's name, which means that there's something divine about the way he uses his mouth. He says the following, but I don't understand why did Hashem add in the Torah the Nun to his name? What's the Nun doing here? The Omer Mishpachas HaFuni. Okay, what's Funi? It's a strange sounding word. He says, Pirish.
Funi's face, right? Like Panov?
No, I think Panov, the Vav would come before the Nun. Here, the right? Panov means the Vav would come after the Nun. Here it's Vav first and the Nun second. So he says that the word Puni is Miloshen Lefanot. Lefanos. Does anybody know what the word Lefanot is?
Switch, yeah.
Lefanot means, like, let's say, for example, there's rubbish here on the road, and you can't go by. So lefanot means lesalek. You know, you take it and push it off on the side. And what's the message to this fellow, Fuva, who has a mouth that's dedicated to Kedusha, to sanctity, to Torah, to Hashem, to the Eitz Chaim? We're telling him, shetzarich lefanot, mimotrot, all these unnecessary trivialities, Schok, Udvar Betelim, even though they're not prohibited speech, but if he's shooting the breeze, as we would say, then he's wasting his mouth. His mouth should be dedicated to Hashem. He says, listen to this, this is my body. Matsasi lechaside Yisrael Shekosu. He doesn't tell you where he found it. But again, this is going back 5 centuries, so he might be going back to the Tkuf of the Rishonim. Ki pesha lomde Torah, the mouth of someone who studies Torah, Dino has the same status ki chli sharet. Does anybody know what a chli sharet is?
Utensil in the Beit HaMikdash.
Correct! And what's the law if you put something into a utensil in the Beit HaMikdash?
Oh, yeah.
It becomes Kodesh, it becomes Hekdesh. Asher yishartu shav ba-kodesh. Ki ein kedusha ki kedushat ha-Torah. Since he dedicates his mouth to the highest level of sanctity, namely the study of Torah, l'chein therefore asur lo l'daber bo l'dvarim shel chol. Just like a klishari to the base of English, you can't put some chulin in there. You can only put something of hegdesh. Here too, he can't misuse his mouth by putting into his mouth things that shouldn't be there. The kolshkein dvarim asurim, the humasher ramaz, and this is the illusion. But maimar lefel lefushu peh ha'amil b'torah. What does it mean? He should get rid of everything from his mouth. Chutz mehagos b'Torah, except for the study of Torah. And he quotes the Mishnah in Avos. Does anyone know how many different ways there are to study Torah? 48. These are the Memches Milo Shebehem Mikdeis HaTorah.
What's the 48?
Oh, we'd have to go through them one by one, but one of them is Miut Sicha, to limit the Shmuzin.
Miut schok. Limit the jokes. You know, don't be a stand-up comedian. But
to fulfill Torah or to learn Torah?
And to achieve Torah. Okay. These are the ways to achieve Torah.
Help to achieve Torah.
It means getting rid of these mosros, these trivialities that are absolutely unnecessary. So that's how the Archaim sees in the word foodie, lefanos. You see it inside in your text? Do you have it? Umatsati. It's the second half of number 15. Matsati l'chasidei Yisrael shekosvu. Oh, in parentheses he writes it's the Alshech. Right, that's going back a long time. Ki pesh alom de Torah dino ki klishare sesho yishar subam bakodesh. So you have to dedicate your peh to Torah study because now it becomes a klishareis. The aim kedusha, the highest level of kedusha that we have is kedusha Torah. For leza osul ledaber ba'afilu divrei chol hagam she'ein b'hem dvarim asur. Maybe he's not talking lashonara. For whom asher ramaz, that's the remez. The maimar lefuva shupeh, a peh that's dedicated to the work in Torah. Shebo shochen chatzi shmo yisbarach, and the nun lishpachas hafuni means sheyifana. Espiv mikol amosros. And here I want to read you the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim doesn't quote the Archaim HaKadosh. He doesn't quote the Alshich. But I don't have a single doubt in my mind that that's who he has in mind. And take a look. In every single quote, they tell you where he's getting it from, except for this one. Do you have this book, the Chofetz Chaim, in English? It's an excellent book.
The Family Lesson Day.
No, that one,
the actual one. Okay, so Yeshayahu Anovi speaks about Amzu Yatsarti, Liti Hilosi. This is the nation I created for myself, my praises it shall recite. The essence of the Jewish people is speech and to sing the praise of God. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Hashem created the Jewish people so that it should sing His praises through prayer, Torah study, and other mitzvot. The mouth is the primary instrument by which this purpose is fulfilled. The mouth therefore defines the very essence of the Jew. And now he has a quote, but he doesn't tell you where he's quoting. Whoever guards his mouth becomes like a vessel of the Holy Temple. I have no doubt that he has this Alshich and this Chaim HaKadosh. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if used for the purpose that Hashem intended, the mouth attains the status of a holy object. It becomes like a klisharis, a vessel of the Beis HaMikdash, which enables the sacrifices to make the journey from earth all the way to heaven. The mouth enables words of prayer and learning to ascend to heaven. It possesses even more power than that, because it also is the means by which man is able to draw the holiness of heaven down to earth. A loaf of bread becomes sanctified through the utterance of a 10-word blessing. Hamotzi lechem haaretz. The pronouncement of just 121 words constitutes the key part of creating a holy bond of marriage, which is called kedusha milashon hegdesh, between a man and a woman. Right? Hare at mekudeshet li, and so forth and so on. With 54 words, a glass of wine is elevated to the status of kiddush. Once we recite Kiddush, he says 54 words. Next time you're around, we'll count it. Through the mouth, each Jew has been given the power to imbue his world with holiness. However, here's the downside. Like a klisharis of the Beis HaMikdash, the mouth can become impure and thus unfit to fulfill its function. If one were to place unkosher offerings in a klisharis, then the klisharis itself would be defiled.
Can you talk about that?
What do you say? I don't know. He doesn't go into detail about that. You have to really know the Rambam Klei HaMikdash here. Because usually klisharis is considered kosher kadoshim. It's not yotzi l'chulin al yedei me'ilo. So I don't know exactly. But he says that in exactly the same way, when one uses his mouth to speak forbidden words of Lashon Hara, then he defiles his mouth. And that's why Lashon Hara, he says, incapacitates the Jew, rendering him unable to effectively produce words of prayer and learning for which he was created. Do you know what he's saying here? That as a result of Lashon Hara, you won't be able to pray. Your prayers are worthless. Your learning is worthless. That's the Chofetz Chaim. See, the Chofetz Chaim lived at a time when he felt that people were totally ignorant about Lashon Hara. And therefore he felt it was like his job. The Chofetz Chaim died in 1930, which is 80-some-odd years ago, right? 82 years ago. My father, this coming February, if he were alive, would be celebrating his 100th birthday. And he got a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim when he was a youth. when he was about 12 years old. And a lot of us think that that bracha had such an impact on the whole family. Now take a look. What do you say?
For all these things, yeah. Then maybe head, like your speech is the most important like thing you do. But isn't the actions off, like person's actions more important?
Well, there's Dibur, Machshava, and Maisa. Man is made up of three levels, three ingredients that contribute to his status and his service to Hashem. Number one is Machshava, his thoughts. Number two is Dibur, his speech. Number three is action. I would say it's a tripod. They're all three on the same level. And we're going to see here today what the level of Dibur is, what the Kedusha, the sanctity of Dibur is, and how severe it is if we misuse our mouth. We pollute it and contaminate it, and thereby undo or undermine the very sanctimony, the sacredness of the mouth. That's called chilul kedusha. We are being mechal kedusha. Take a look, for example, at number 9. You have number 9 on your page. It's all the way in the bottom right.
It's cut off.
Right. It's cut off. So maybe some of it you'll be able to get. The first one of the five. The Mishnah speaks about five things. Which are very severe violations.
What would be a good literal translation of sharim?
Sharim?
Sharim.
Shari is permissible.
No, sharet.
Oh, sharet is service.
What is
sharet? The sharet is a service.
Malachi sharet.
Malachi sharet, they serve Hashem.
Oh,
right, with sharet. So if you'll take a look, there are five things where a person is mizalzel, he's very lax and laid back about kedusha, about sanctity. Because he doesn't understand, he doesn't appreciate how severe it is to vitiate and violate and desecrate sanctity. And one of them is called mechalel es hakadshim. In other words, he takes kodshe Hashem, something is sanctified. For example, it's sanctified to be a carbon, an animal, and he treats it as if it's chulin. Let's say he uses it for his own personal purposes. He says, why does a person act that way? The answer is because he looks at this animal and he asks himself a simple question. Wait a minute. A minute ago, this animal was like any other animal. I could ride it, I could milk it. If it was a cow, I could do anything I want with it. And now, a minute later, you're telling me that I can't use it? What happened? I don't see any change. And what he doesn't realize is that there's a power that changed the animal. What is that power?
Speech.
The power of speech. Dibur shel Adam, the power of man, which he doesn't appreciate. Yachol afoch otah can change, transform the animal of mashu acher to something entirely different. Changes the identity, the essence of the animal. He thinks, why do I have to be careful about this animal? He's called a machal es hakodshim. And why? Because he desecrates kodesh. He doesn't appreciate, doesn't understand the value and the power of speech. How great it is. How powerful it is. And finally, we only have a few minutes left, but let's see if we can read the Preet Tzadik, which is number 16 on the bottom left of your page. This is Rav Tzadik HaKohen. He lived about 2.5 centuries ago. In Parshas Noso, which is the Parsha of Nazir, could you imagine a person, how many words makes a person into a Nazir? Anybody know? Two words. No, not with machshava. It's haflas peh. You need to enunciate it. But how many words do you have to actually say? All you have to say is hareini nazir. Two words. Now watch this. The Torah says ish o isha ki yafli lindar neder. The simple, straightforward pshat in the word yafli means to enunciate. But yafli, if you take it apart, has a shoresh. Pei lamed alf. What does pei lamed alf mean? Something amazing, marvelous, wonderful. Halasha ki yafli, yesh lomar, if we want to read into, you know, Lashon Kodesh is such a beautiful language because there's so many different meanings to a word and they all have to be combined and interrelated. Yafli yesh lomar, they are inyan anazirus, nazirus itself, the etzem, who dover pella. It's an unbelievable thing. It's lamalam in asecha vadas. It's very hard to comprehend it. Because what happens to a nazir? He's not allowed to go into a cemetery. He can't cut his hair. He can't drink the product of grapes. Now, watch what happens. Supposing you and I would decide in our minds that we want to reach the level of sanctity of a Nazir. We're not going to go into cemeteries, we're not going to cut our hair, we're not going to drink wine. He causes himself suffering. He's a real aesthetic. The Gibel Dvar Malolu. In Lo Yikabel Al Atzmo L'Shem Nizirus, if he didn't accept upon himself through verbalization Nizirus, Lo Yeh Nikra Kadosh. He's not a Kadosh. Again, two people identically abstain from the same three things. One is called a Kadosh and one is not. Why? They both did the exact same thing. They both suffered the same amount. The answer is because one took a nether. That's the pella of it. But the nether itself, everything inheres in that one phrase, Al Yedei Dibur Echad Shemotzi Mipiv. Which words? Hareini Nazir. How many words is that? Two words. Oz Nikra Al Yedei Zeh Kadosh. Kabosha Never, as the Torah says, Kol Yimei Nizro Kodesh Hu Hashem. And the other guy behave the exact same way, abstain from the same three identical things, but yet he's not a kadosh because he didn't say Hareini Nazir. That's the Pela Gadol, that through the Dibur a person becomes kadosh. Dibur itself sanctifies. Yesh b'koch haDibur liskadesh liolam. By the way, normally a Nazir is how long? Stam Nazir, if he doesn't tell you how long. Anybody know? How long does he remain in Nazir? 30
days.
30 days. But supposing he says, Hareini Nazir Liolam, he added one extra word. Then he becomes a Nazir like Shimshon, who from his birth was a Nazir Olam. V'od, and furthermore.
Wait, he never had been in a bed?
I don't know if he was a Bechor, I don't remember, but let's say, what does Nazirus have to do with Pidgin HaBen?
Don't you
Pidgin
HaBen?
No.
I don't, not that I know. The Od Nimtza Al Pi Halacha, there's Halacha Moshe Misinai, something that's even deeper, more far-reaching, that a father could be Madir his Beno, his Ben as a Nazir. The father can accept and impose upon his son Nazirus. But the son himself is a Nazir. Did he say anything?
No.
Not a word.
I was thinking tonight that if our son's a boy, he's going to be Nazir with flowers.
I think so. And that's exactly what happened when the Malach, you remember, came to Manoach and told him, you're going to have a son and he's going to be a Nazir. Shal Yedei Dibur Shal Av Nasa B'no Kadosh. The father, through his Dibur, could make his son Kadosh. Afal Pishahu Lo Asa V'Atzmo Pu'ulas HaDibur. Now, in the case of Shimshon, does anybody happen to remember, if you know Tanakh, who the Malach was? Because Manoach asked him what his name was. His name was Peli. Why was his name Peli? In order to tell us what a Pella, what an amazing, marvelous, incredible miracle this is, that a person can become a Nazir Olam, he's a Kadosh Lashem, through a Hafla, through a Dibur Lashem Peh, and who took the Lashem Peh? Not him, but his father. Gam ken al yidei shev, so my Pella Gadol, shenir beinayim ad ato kidmus odu b'chol inyonov, he looks to us like a regular man, walks the streets, has the same flesh and blood, uberega echad, with 1 minute, this hapech, he's totally changed. Because of what? Of a kabbalas nazirus, of a haflas peh. This means that man has kedushah, he has sanctity, his dibur is sanctified, it represents the highest level of man, and as a result, he can sanctify anything. An animal, to make him into a karba kachi kachim, arizu ola, a human being, areni nazir. Even his own son, he can make him into a nazir. All this is because the pair is a klisharis, it's a vehicle, a conduit to generate kedusha, because man himself is kadosh. And this swings us back to the beginning of this whole discussion. Because the parsha of the Moedos, which is read on every Moed, begins with three words. Anybody know what they are? It's a catchphrase. Every Gabbai knows it in the shul. It's a Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. It's number 5 on your page. Does anybody know what that's called? The parsha that we read on the Moedim that comes from Vayikra, Parshas Emor, what it's called? It's called by a certain name because those are the first few words that we read after Vayedabra Hashem El Moshe Lemar. After that, no, Elam Oladei comes a little bit later, the beginning of Chav Gimel. But at the end of Chav Beis in Sefer Vayikra, there's a
there,
Take a look. It's the first on your page. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Limor. What are the next three words? Are you on number one? Are you on number one? Sharal Keves. Oh, Kesef, excuse me. Sharal Kesef. That's how they know it. You ask a Gabbai, what do we read on the Moed? And they'll say, Sharal Kesef. It's a catchphrase, but those are the last few psukim in Perek Chav Beis in Vayikra. And the subject of that parsha is Karbanos. And immediately thereafter, just two psukim later, a few psukim later in Perek Chav Gimel, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Limor, and this is really the parsha of Moedos, Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikrai Kodesh. What would be the connection between Moedos and Karbanos? Why would the Torah place this together? And not only does it place it together, we read them together on every Moed. Why? What does Sharo Kesev, which is dealing with Karbanos, have anything to do with the Moedos?
Karbanos on Moed.
Correct. And why? There's got to be some intrinsic connection between the Karban and the Moed.
To Kodesh. To bless us.
Kodesh, good. Kodesh. What's the source of Kedusha?
Speech. Oh, we say Yom Kiddush in one day, then we read it. So.
No, but how do we get a certain calendar date, and we say that's going to be Kodesh?
No,
Hashem could say so from now till doomsday. That doesn't make it Kodesh.
What?
No. Doesn't make it Kodesh. That's Shabbos. You're thinking of Shabbos, but not Moadim. Moadim, if you take a look in Chav Gimel, which is number two on your page, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Matalei Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Moadei Mikrai Kodesh. Who has to designate them as Mikrai Kodesh?
Bnei Yisrael.
You're not reading the Pasuk. No, I'm disappointed in you.
No.
Amartaleihem Moadei Hashem Asher Tikru Osam Mikrai Kodesh. No. Who's they? Bnei Yisrael. No. Who represents Bnei Yisrael?
Moshe.
Who represents Bnei Yisrael throughout the generations?
No.
To sanctify the month, to tell us which day is going to be Yontif, to establish Kedusha. Bezdin, the court, the highest court in Israel. That Bezdin on every month is going to receive witnesses. The witnesses are going to testify that we saw the new moon, and then they're going to sanctify Yontif. Hashem can sanctify Yontif. Only we can sanctify Yontif. And through what? Does anybody know after the Edom come in what the members of the Sanhedrin, what the judges have to say? They have to say Mekudosh, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. Those three words. Right. That's a Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. So where's the source of Kedusha in Moedos? It's in the pet, it's in the mouth. It's the Bezdin that decides Mekudosh, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. What's the source of Kodesh in Kodshim? In Karbanos? Again, it's Peh. So the Kedusha's Peh that we spoke about, that the Peh is a conduit for Kedusha. It is inherently the Nefesh Chaya, the essence of man, the highest level of Kedusha. It is a Klisharez. That expresses itself not only in Karbanos, when a person says Arezu Ol, and he designates it orally, verbally as a Karban, but also in the Moados, Asher Tikru Osam Mikroi Kodesh, when Bezdin, representing Klal Yisrael, decide to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, Mekudosh, Mekudosh, Mekudosh. We have to take from this a moral lesson about the challenges that we have to face daily to use our mouths and our speech, that glorious, majestic, sanctimonious power of speech in the right way and not, chas v'sholom, in the wrong way.